Good morning, Thursday, September 2nd. Score projections coming back with 5 free picks for today, 3 in college football, 2 in MLB. For anyone that wants to get picks only and get them into their sports book, you could fast forward to the end and I'll have a recap there. If you want to listen to the analysis, play along here. This will be, I don't know when the end will be, how long it'll be, just do a shortly before the end of the audio. I don't know how long it's going to be as this is live format. This is being taped, but I'm doing it as beta version live to see how that goes. So there's no editing. We're going to start quickly with college football. The premier of the two games is University of Central Florida and Boise State. Boise State on the road at Central Florida. Both programs have brand new coaches. Gus Malzahn is taking over Central Florida after being at Auburn, so he's stepped down in weight class, and that's due to the fact that he didn't have the most success in Auburn that he could have. I'll get more on that later. Andy Avalos of Boise State has never been a head coach. He was a linebacker at Boise State, so he's familiar with the culture, I guess we could say. He's bringing in a offensive coordinator from UC Davis, Tim Plow, and that is a very pass-happy air attack offense, unless it's going to be changed to some degree with Boise, but that would not be logical. You hire your first-year coordinator because of what he's been doing in the past, and you don't expect him to change what he's been doing. So you can expect a move towards more pass with Boise. That's going to be a change. How easy it is for them to adapt as players, it's hard to say. It's easier to adapt to a defense than an offense for the most part. Or certainly we could say that it's the defenses are ahead of the offense in the early season. That's more of a fact there. Now both teams are returning approximately the same amount of starters. Arguably, and we'll see what happens when the game kicks off, but 17-ish of 22 starters will return for both teams. Central Florida underperformed last year at 6-4, and you could say Boise State underperformed at 5-2. Now these are abbreviated schedules due to COVID. Now regarding systems, obviously Malzahn will bring a different system with him from his experience as a head coach. It should be easier to adapt to or coach a new system when you've been doing it for quite some time versus a brand new head coach at Boise trying to adjust and learn what his coordinator is going to do. I just feel that there's going to be a significant advantage for Central Florida in this case due to the experience of the head coaching system on a first year. It's hard to underestimate that effect. Additionally, Gus Malzahn's history is in his first year or two, his teams play extremely well, outperforming expectations, and then they sort of peter out over time, and then he has to move on to something else. We don't know what Andy Avalos is going to be able to do at Boise. He has no experience or track record to go off of. I expect UCF to have a better defense than they've had in the past with the Malzahn system. And we're assuming there's going to be more passing going on at Boise. Defense wins out over offense in the beginning. Defense wins out over a new offensive air attack when the players aren't used to it. Again, that's UCF over Boise. So UCF, a 6.5-point favorite. And the pick is on UCF. Predicted score, UCF 41, Boise State 30. No real play on the total. But UCF to cover the spread is a solid play. The next pick in college football is Appalachian State. Appalachian State is an 8.5-point favorite over East Carolina. I predict that score to be East Appalachian State 37, East Carolina 24. And actually taking the over as well. The total, the over-under is 56. And taking the over. So Appalachian State to cover the spread and over the point total. Again, shop around for your lines. Regarding the other line, UCF minus 6.5 is widely available. Should not go up to 7, although it's possible. 7 is still a safe bet, but it's a key number. 7.5 is absolutely no good, although it will not get there. 7 is still okay. It's potentially a push. Now back to this game. 8.5 is not a key number. 10 would be a key number, and 7 is a key number. So 9 is okay. 9.5 is okay. 7.5 is great. The line is probably going to move more than the UCF Boise State line because there's more variables at play. With the smaller teams, a bigger bet will push the line one direction or another versus the UCF Boise State more heavily bet. With bigger bets, it's harder to move it at this stage of the game, although there still could be big bets coming in at the end for both. So that's why I mentioned those lines as far as if it moves before you take it. The total of 56, that is 8 touchdowns at 7 points each for 56 points. However, in college football, you have 2 points conversions, you have more missed extra points, and there's not going to just be 8 touchdowns. It's going to be field goals, or could be odd scoring of one kind or another. So 56 is a ballpark for the lines maker, and over 56 is a solid play. Predicting Appalachian State 37, East Carolina 24, but the range on that also favors Appalachian State. Appalachian State should score a minimum of, say, 34 points, as much as 45 points. So the band there, 34 to 45, I'm giving it on the low side of 37. East Carolina, a low side of 17, a high side of 31, a larger band there, and taking it right in the middle. Again, if you look at the upper and lower bands there, I've got Appalachian State on the low side to beat or tie East Carolina on their high side. And if you went the other direction, 45 to 17 Appalachian State. Again, there's a reason why I'm not picking 45 to 17 or 31 to 31. I believe it's Appalachian State 37, East Carolina 24. Now, getting into some of those reasons. Again, both experienced teams coming back, similar to the previous game. I give East Carolina a slight edge on experience there. But let's look at the records for these teams and in their recent history. Now, again, East Carolina is American Athletic Conference, which is similar to Central Florida that I mentioned. They're both American Athletic. And that's a solid conference. That also includes Cincinnati, which was a highly ranked team last year. Versus Appalachian State in the Sun Belt. Not a name brand conference, but I consider it to be slightly is not the right word for it, very underrated. There was some love for Coastal Carolina last year in that conference. They were getting some rankings when they were undefeated. However, the whole conference as a whole from top to bottom is fairly solid. So anyway, records from last year, East Carolina 3-6. Appalachian State 9-3. Now again, there's some difference in the talent that each team plays. However, we have one good thing that we can look at. Each of these teams played Georgia State last year. Now again, it's last year, but we are looking at coaches that are returning. It's not first-year coaches. We're looking at a large amount of starters on both sides. Both teams and both sides, meaning offense and defense, are returning. And the results last year to that one game are fairly telling. Appalachian State beat Georgia State 17-13. East Carolina lost to Georgia State by 20 points, 49-29. That's a 24-point difference between the two teams using a common opponent. Now, it's only one game, and Appalachian State was an 18-point favorite, not covering the spread. So if you bet on the spread last year, you lost by 14 points, although they won outright. Meanwhile, East Carolina was a pick'em, even money on the game versus Georgia State, and they lost by 20 points. So they failed to cover by 20. Appalachian State failed to cover by 14. But there's a reason why Appalachian State was an 18-point favorite, and East Carolina was a pick'em against the exact same opponent, because Appalachian State's a better team, and there's no question about that. So Appalachian State minus 8.5 is the play, and over 56 for combined points in the teams is the play. Moving on to baseball. Again, we had some bad luck in baseball yesterday, but we should be a little better today. So today's pick, two picks. Tampa Bay is pick one. Now they are a favorite over the Boston Red Sox. Tampa Bay is at home, and they have a significant pitching advantage. Some more so the lack of pitching prowess for the Boston Red Sox. With a weak pitcher going, I'm pulling up some information now. Again, this is live here, or in theory live. But Eduardo Rodriguez, a lefty, versus Shane McClanahan, a lefty of Tampa Bay. Rodriguez for Boston. Boston on the road. Tampa Bay approximately a minus 160 favorite. Again, always shop around for the lines. A lot of these books will have bonuses for people joining if you find a line at one book much better than the place you're using. You can get some free play out of that. Essentially, it is a pitching matchup choice, but Tampa Bay is probably the elite team in the American League right now. They would be the favorite to represent the American League in the World Series at this time. Boston is now the second wild card in the American League, meaning they will make the playoffs. So both are searching to Boston to stay in the playoffs, Tampa Bay to keep the number one seed. There just is no comparison between the two teams in the situation. Boston 35 and 33 on the road. Tampa Bay 43 and 24 at home. The pitching matchup dramatically favors Tampa Bay in this situation. So the play is on Tampa Bay. It's a little bit heavier juice at minus 160-ish, but it's positive net value here, considering that Tampa Bay, in my analysis, should be about a minus 200 favorite. So minus 160 is positive value. There's no guarantees in life. And baseball betting, for sure, is underdogs win every day. And Boston's a quality program. They're just overmatched in this game. Second one, going back to the well with Oakland in the early game. The reason for this, it was going to be a no play, as it was Sean Manaea for Oakland against Matt Manning for Detroit. Manaea is a better pitcher, but he struggled very much in the last month. Would not bet on that. However, Frankie Montas, the pitcher for Oakland, was not able to get a visa to Toronto in their future series here, so they moved him up a day to this final game against Detroit. The good thing is he's not pitching on short rest because Oakland had a day off, so he's pitching on normal rest. He's pitching a fifth day, which is standard rest for a starting pitcher. The bad thing on this is that the steam, this is a heavy, heavy steam play where Oakland is large favorite and getting larger by the minute. They're now up to minus 220. That's too much to play on a baseball game as a general rule. Although value is value, and Oakland is definitely a minus 220 favorite. As a matter of fact, in my book, they're minus 300 favorite, meaning that they would win this game 3 out of 4 times given the exact same pitchers, the exact same lineups, exact same situation. Oakland wins this game 3 out of 4 times, which is not 100%. That's only 75%. That equates to a minus 300 line. They're a minus 220, which would be a solid play. However, that's not the best play. The best play is to take the run line, Oakland minus 1.5, which will significantly reduce that juice. But now they have to win by 2 or more, and they should. Frankie Montas is the best pitcher on Oakland staff right now. He has not given up a single run in his last 2 games, both going 7 innings. So he's pitching deeper into the games than the standard pitchers do nowadays, which is often 5 or 6 innings. He's giving up very few hits. He's striking out people. He's a power pitcher. He's on fire, essentially, and will destroy the Detroit batters versus Matt Manning of Detroit is going to get destroyed by the Oakland hitters, who are going to be a little frustrated losing last night. although they did score six runs. They went from a 6-3 lead to an 8-6 loss due to their pitching. Their bullpen is a little weak. The bullpen's not going to be needed too much with Frankie Montas pitching deep and with him usually likely having a large lead in this game. That is the five free picks for today. In recap, as I said, I would do in reverse order then from what I've done them. Oakland on the run line, minus 1.5 runs over Detroit. Tampa Bay on the money line over Boston. In football, Appalachian State minus 8.5 points and the game total over 56. And University of Central Florida minus 6.5 points over Boise State. That is it for today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good luck.